Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Peju Bambushi Roethlisberger.
Hi, and I'm Naomi Bushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour film and TV edition. How are you, Mom? What's up?
Oh, wonderful, sweetie. I'm great. How are you? Everything is up. Hey, some good, some bad. More good than bad. Everything is up, sweetie. What's up with you?
I'm good. I'm being very productive, thank goodness. And I'm also enjoying the NBA finals. At the time of this podcast, there has only been one game. It was the Boston Celtics have came up as the victor, which we didn't expect them to win the first game because it was in Golden State, but it was like a really exciting surprise. So.
Oh, okay. And they were playing in California too, right?
They were playing in California. It's anybody's game still. It's only one game. So.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They better win the next game. Is the next game in California too?
It is in Gatlin.
Come on, y'all. You know, it's not just about Steph. You got a whole team there. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, if not, hey, you know.
Oh, is that who you want to win? Do you want the Warriors to win?
I don't really care because they both have won so much. I think, of course, Golden State has been winning more recently, but they both, you know, have won a lot. And the Celtics have been one of the all-time greatest, you know, franchises in the league. So, yeah, you know, so whatever, either way, good basketball, either way.
Okay.
All right, moving on.
Okay. So let's tell everybody what we're sipping on. We're going light today, guys, because we're trying to be healthy for the month of June. We have some peach mango bubbly. It is from Guilty Grape, and it is a set of twins with Nichelle and Nicole Nichols, African-American female twins. All right, Ma, do you want to give us a little taste?
All right, here we go. You ready?
I hope so.
Here's to health, wealth, and happiness. Long life and prosperity. Salud.
Salud. That's really actually refreshing.
Delish.
Okay. So guys, on our last episode, you know, we talked about Top Gun Maverick and we both gave it a top shelf. Mine gave it a 9 top shelf and I gave it an 8.5 top shelf. So we highly recommend it. So if you haven't seen it, go out there and see it. So we're going to start off today with a movie that has premiered on Prime this weekend called Emergency. And it is the story of two best friends, two young African-American college students. They are seniors and they want to go out with a bang. So they want to try this thing called the Legendary Tour, which is going to all of the fraternities. I think it's 7 fraternities. And along the way, they encounter a young white girl.
Now, wait a minute. Not they just want to go. They want to go drinking and partying.
Well, they want to party. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Well, I don't think you mentioned that. Yeah. They weren't just going visiting. They were going to be getting blasted.
Yes. They want to enjoy it to the fullest.
Right. All these different parties at these different fraternity houses. Okay.
Yes. And along the way, they have an unexpected guest who is passed out in their dorm room that they share with another student. He is a Latino student. And so they're all, of color. They're all minorities. And they happen to have a young white girl who was passed out in their dorm. And so that is where all of the different troubles and trials come in. What are your thoughts on the Emergency, Ma?
Lots of thoughts. Lots of different thoughts. I think it had some serious themes and then some more lighthearted themes. I thought maybe it was attempting to be funny when it should have been serious. And I think they were maybe serious when they could have been more lighthearted, to just many, many different things. And I would think that young adults would make better decisions and have better sense than these individuals displayed. I thought some of the behavior was completely ludicrous and actually kind of offensive. I did not like some of the very negative and self deprecating racial references that they made. I didn't like it at all. I didn't like the reference that the one young man, one of the students, said something about skin darker than a paper bag. You know, if the cops show up, if your skin is darker than a paper bag, you better not be here or something. And that's a very old reference, a very old, you know, colorist reference years ago. And not good, not positive, you know, not, you know, just very regressive as opposed to progressive. Did not like that at all. And really, one of my huge issues is that I'm hearing a number of African Americans and people of African descent referring to themselves as brown. We brown girls, we brown skin, we brown, we brown, we brown. No, we are Black. We are African American. We are of the Black race. We are Afro-Cuban. We are Afro-Latin. We are Afro-Mexican. We are Latino. We are Black. Okay? There are other groups who are brown. There are many groups who are brown, and they are also maybe Latino, Indian, Asian. You know, there are many groups that are brown.
Yeah.
You know, but that is not our group. Our group is Black. Whereas we understand most of us are not literally Black in the same sense that no group is literally that color, but this is how we categorize ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when we start to step away from that, it harkens back to a day of when there was a very little ethnic pride, and we should not be embracing that kind of thing in the year 2020. We should be embracing
2022.
Oh, I'm sorry, 2022. Okay. And we should be, well, not in 2020 either, but you know, yeah. In 2022, we should be embracing and uplifting our Blackness and not saying things of, well, I'm brown, my skin is brown. It just really bothers me. It's some form of self-loathing, and I do not like it. And there was a couple of references in this movie that I thought was inappropriate and not progressive, not forward-thinking at all. I didn't like the movie. Okay. I didn't like the movie. The whole thing is that they were having this big debate about
whether,
about whether or not their race was going to cause them to make a potentially life or death decision.
Okay.
You know,
well,
so that's what I won't go any further. You know, and you'll see it for yourself, but I did not like the movie.
Okay. Well, I agree with you about the brown reference. I'm not a fan of that. I think it's very silly. And we are Black. Right. Like you said, other groups have brown. They are race. So
absolutely.
With that being said, I thought that I took it more as a comedy, even though there was obviously some very serious elements to the film. But for me, the majority of it, you had to look at it almost like a Weekend at Bernie's with some of the things that they were doing mixed in with Get Out. And that's kind of what Emergency reminded me of in a way. I think.
Well, see, that's a problem, because when it comes to the African-American experience with the police in the United States of America, it can't be no Weekend at Bernie's, because too many of us really get murdered by the police. Yeah. So it's no Weekend at Bernie's for us. That's the part that was not funny.
Well, I think
you're Weekend at Bernie's when it really is a prank.
Well,
when they break into your home and shoot you in the bed, Brianna, when they put their foot on your neck and hold it there until you dead, George Floyd, and on and on and on and on and on, when they hang you up by a tree and throw you in the water and so on and so forth, Emmett Till, it cannot be a Weekend at Bernie's.
Well, okay. Well, Ma, of course. I just think that they were trying to play around.
That's why, to me, it was not funny.
I think that they were trying to play around with things artistically. But what I will say that was just really silly about it was that, you know, that at this point, at the beginning of the film, we knew the police were necessary. Like, if you just, you know, take away common sense, That is right. The only way for this film to work. But that's why I thought a lot of it was comedy, and I didn't feel so negative like you did toward it. I think there was a lot of flaws with it because there's a big elephant in the room. Why don't you just call the police?
I thought it was a misguided attempt at levity surrounding a very serious issue. I thought it missed the mark completely.
Okay, so what is your review?
Hooch.
So I give it a 7 premium. I thought it needed some work, but I understood where they were going with it. And I appreciate that. You know, although this is not, there's not a laughing matter dealing with the police and, you know, young Black men and young, you know, brown men, referring to the Latino man, Carlos. So yeah, it gets a 7, a premium for me, 7. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's. All right,
Jordan, you and I will talk more about this because I'm not understanding what in it you appreciated, except that it gave a bunch of minorities a paycheck. I don't see what else you appreciated about any of it.
Okay, but that's true. Let's move on to another movie called The Lost City, which is starring Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum, and it had a nice little, we can't say cameo, but a little small role for Mr. Brad Pitt. And so this is definitely a comedy. And Sandra Bullock is playing kind of a reclusive romantic writer, you want to say. And she is, you know, I guess, interacting with her male model, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on between her and the male model. But to make a long story short, Daniel Radcliffe plays a kooky billionaire who wants to prove to everybody that he can accomplish a certain thing, and so he kidnaps Sandra Bullock, and everything else ensues from the kidnapping of Sandra Bullock. So what are your thoughts on The Lost City?
Funny, silly, goofy, to the point that I found it very hard to stay focused. Brad Pitt was only in there for a short time and he was hysterical. He was real funny. I mean, this was clearly a comedy, and everything about it was, you know, from ridiculous to outrageous to incredible, fantastic, and funny. But overall, I think it was a big snooze. Overall, yeah. I'm gonna give it hooch.
You're gonna give it a hooch? What hooch are you gonna give it?
You can fall asleep and wake up 30 minutes later and not have missed anything. You know, and
still, are you trying to tell us something, Ma? Is
it? And you know what? It's getting a 3. It's getting a 3.
A 3. Okay. Well,
it only gets a 3 because Brad Pitt was in there.
A couple things I wanted to say about it. Number one, you know, I like that Sandra Bullock, the last few pictures that I've seen her in, she is paired with a younger lead, you know, significantly younger. And that's 10, 15, sometimes 20 years younger. And I love that because, you know, historically it's been the reverse.
Right.
So that's cute.
Female, they've been doing it with men, older men and younger females forever. They've been doing it all the time.
So I thought that part was really good. There was some, you know, jokes in there, but for me, I didn't find it funny. And I didn't feel as though that Sandra Bullock was doing enough in this film. I don't know if like lately she's been in a lot of dramatic roles and she's, you know, taking herself so seriously, but I didn't really find her funny in this. I thought Brad Pitt was funny, but he wasn't in there long enough. And Channing Tatum had some funny parts, you know, because he made fun of himself.
I wanted Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock to do more dancing. They did some little minor dancing, but I think that would have made it better if they could have had a fabulous dance scene, you know, something like Travolta and Uma Thurman, you know, and Be Cool, or what was the other thing?
Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, you know, a couple of cool dance scenes, because Channing can dance. And you know, he could have just, you know, brought, you know, Sandra Bullock along with him, you know. I thought that would have lifted up the film a bit. They had the one little dance scene, but it was kind of mild.
Did you stay for the spoiler?
I did
without,
not.
Without saying, okay, yeah, there's a spoiler. There is a spoiler at the end. You know, guys, watch the credits and you'll may see a surprise. We're not going to say what it is, but I'll leave that alone. Okay. I am going to give it a hooch as well, because I didn't really enjoy it. I thought it was very uninspiring.
It was hooch worthy.
I'm going to give it a 4 hooch.
Okay.
Okay. So now, so let's move on to a huge series that debuted over the past week and it's been a 3-year absence, which is Stranger Things season 4. So I will just start. I'm not going to reveal too much because I feel that people are still watching this series. Yes. You know, I completed Okay. Yeah. But what I will say is it is definitely more adult-like this season. It is not anything that I would watch with the children. I mean, older teenagers are fine, but I would say not for little children. It is a lot more scary this season. I can't think of the guy's name, but Freddy Krueger has a role in it this season. The actor that played Freddy Krueger, I don't know that offhand. Forgive me, guys, for that. I love him as an addition. I think all of the children are doing a really good job. I like that, you know, when it comes on, everybody is doing their own thing. People aren't together. You can see them growing up. Obviously, the child actors are all young adults now. They're all like over 18. But I thought it was really good. I thought that they did a really good job with the story writing. I like the Dungeons and Dragons Club. I'm not a huge fan. Everyone, this is a spoiler, but everyone knows the Hopper is alive now. I'm not a huge fan of the Russian prison. Like, I don't know about that.
I agree with you about that. That part, to me, they could really almost just eliminate that completely.
The other thing, like, for me, and maybe I'm picking, I don't like that they're dragging with Eleven getting her powers back. So much of the story revolved around her powers.
You know what? Yeah, that's right. You know what? I didn't like it that Eleven had to take her roller skate and bust the girl in the head. I thought she could have done something a little more smooth, you know, with her power. I mean, she just was very thuggish.
She doesn't have any powers now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you know, she had the power to use that roller skate and bust her in the head. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh no, you know.
Yeah.
But of course she was provoked. She was completely provoked, no question about it. You know what I love so much about this, and I've been in and out and up and down, skipped it for long periods of time, and now reintroducing myself to it, and it is really, to me, a very good series. What I really like so much about it, in a nutshell, without delving into all the little plots and subplots and so forth, I like it that the kids are smart.
Oh, yes.
Overall, the kids are extremely bright.
Mm-hmm.
And most pictures, they have the kids so foolish, so cuckoo. You're scratching your head going, wait a minute. I never recall real kids being that cuckoo.
Right.
You know, and why are these kids more foolish than kids are in reality?
Right.
But these kids on here, they are bright, they are smart, and mm-hmm. they're supportive of each other. Mm-hmm. Even within the squabbles and misunderstandings, they sort of keep an eye on each other.
Yes.
You know, and I love that. And it keeps the story going. And I like it. I think really good writing. Very different, you know, not, you know, highly predictable. And you know, there's always twists and turns, and you don't necessarily have everything figured out like you think you do.
Right.
You know, there's always surprises. I think it's very engaging, very engrossing. I like it very much. Yeah.
And we'll give a more in-depth review when it comes back for the second half of the season, because there's 2 more episodes that are going to air after the 4th of July. So we'll, you know, go into that. Okay, so we both are enjoying it, right?
Yeah, Stranger Things is back and it is strong.
And to me, this is my favorite. This and the first season are probably my two favorite seasons.
They haven't missed a beat, you know? Sometimes the writing, sometimes they start off strong and then the writing just starts to drop off, you know? Mm-hmm. And the writers get, you know, they sort of lose creativity or, you know, get lazy or whatever happens, but not this one. The writing is top notch. It really is interesting. You'll enjoy it. It's a fun ride.
Okay, so I might be in trouble with this one, and if I am, please let me know. It's Obi-Wan Kenobi. So I don't know how much you
may not be in trouble with it, but I am.
Okay. So I'm not.
In trouble with it. Started it and then I was all over the place.
So guys, what I'll do is we'll come back and talk about this as a later date. But I will say is that it's 10 years after Star Wars: Revenge of the Sith, and Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker are 10 years old. And so that's where it starts. And there's been a lot of, negative racist comments about what's her name? Moses Ingram, who was cast as Reva, the third sister. And there's been a lot of, blowback and pushback from just trolls and whatnot. But of course, Disney, they stood up for her, and Ewan McGregor, of course, stood up for her. And, you know, just come on, guys.
Her character's a little bit mean. You know, so
it's because she's black is why they I don't want to say she's black. It's because people are racist.
It's not because she's black, it's because people are racist.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's because some people are racist. Yeah,
right.
But her character is mean.
She's mean.
From all that, you know, she's mean. That's for sure.
She's very mean, and we'll find out the genesis of why she's that way. You know,
what's
later
going on.
But I'm enjoying it. So we'll come back in a couple weeks and talk about it.
Okay.
But we have to talk about what is it? We have to talk about We Own This City. We have to talk.
Guys.
And so,
my goodness, that was off the chain.
The actors in that
were so good. And you know what? This is a terrible thing to say.
And can I just say before you go into
that? Do you think?
So guys who haven't seen it, it's based on, you know, the book We Own the City, and it's based on a true story of the corruptions that within the city, the cops and also the politicians. And a lot of actors from The Wire were there, and obviously the executive producers of The Wire produced this series. Go ahead, Mom.
No, I was just going to say that the actors, I think they did a wonderful job of depicting corrupt cops in Baltimore. Okay, corrupt cops anywhere, but it happens to be the setting is Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked like and behaved like exactly what you would picture crooked cops behaving and looking like.
Mm-hmm.
It was so real. I found it difficult to watch in the beginning because it was making me very angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had the same communities, you know, that you had in The Wire, the same communities being preyed upon and sometimes doing things they shouldn't have been doing. But a lot of that is the result of having been preyed upon, mm-hmm. you know, and just, you know, the cycle sort of continued. I didn't like that part, but it's exactly as you would think it would be in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part about it that was so good and also so difficult to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because these cops come into these communities, and as opposed to doing everything they can to stop crime, they're exacerbating crime, stealing from the more lucrative and successful criminals, and just keeping the cycle going and going and going and going. And there's just like no end, you know, to the corruption, mm-hmm. to the racism, to the cronyism, to the blue wall of silence,
mm-hmm.
and just on and on and on. They also talk about the mayor, the African-American female mayor.
I didn't even know that happened.
Oh,
I don't know what I was doing. I didn't realize.
Still be in jail. Wasn't that long ago?
Yeah.
Still be in jail for embezzling through phony campaign contributions. Yeah. What's her name? Mayor Pugh. Yeah.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. For those who don't know, they have a documentary about her on Trap, which is a female criminals, you know, a series called Trapped. Trap Queens, that's it. And so, but anyhow, just good, just great. And I was so happy, without telling everybody everything, so happy to see it come to some sort of conclusion.
Well, I mean, you can say what it is, because it's a true story.
It comes to a definitive conclusion where, to make a long story short, they have a number. The saddest part was when the guy played Marlo.
Well, mention that. Don't, yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah. See, you telling me mention and then don't mention.
But I didn't think you were going to go there.
Well, what you mean? It all happened. Okay, so, but anyway, there was a very sad aspect to it. So, many sad aspects to it. Anyhow, it's very good. You know, like I said, I enjoyed it immensely. You know, I don't have anything else to say about it.
Okay. I'm in total agreement with you. I thought it was an excellent series. I thought the acting was great. I loved with the guy, Sergeant Wayne Jenkins, his portrayal of a corrupt cop, I thought was excellent. And I think he should be nominated for an Emmy. I think his name is John Bernthal, or something to that effect. And also Suter, Jamie Hector, who played Marlowe in The Wire. I think he was phenomenal. Definitely top shelf for me for that. What about you, Ma?
I thought it was really good. I give it top shelf as well.
Okay. Another series called Under the Banner of Heaven, limited series starring Andrew Garfield and, you know, Sam Worthington and Wyatt Russell. I thought that was also very well done. I thought that Andrew Garfield was compelling as a devout Mormon police officer whose faith was being tested as he dealt with, you know, fellow Mormons who took it to the ultimate extreme. What are your thoughts on Under the Banner of Heaven?
This whole thing was based on a true story that took place, I'm pretty sure in Utah. And it was just sort of a horror story of mayhem, religious fanaticism, and to some extent, somewhere along the line, religious perversion. And it ended up being just a really tragic story. And much of it was just very difficult to watch because it was so tragic. And this one particular family called the Lafferty family, it was just, you know, they were just very, very rigid in their beliefs. And somewhere along the line, there was, you know, this whole integration of sibling rivalry, religious fanaticism, and just everything. It was a lot. It was a lot to watch, and it was excellent. I thought Andy Garfield, I thought he played the part of a detective. Was he police officer, detective? What was his name? Jeb? I forget the last
Jeb
name.
Pyrie?
Yeah, Pyrie. That sounds Pyrie, right.
Yeah.
And he was really good. He was a family man and, like Pei said, a devout Mormon. And it was just really, really good. And he was torn between his religious beliefs, his duties, and he was part of a very closely knit community, religious community. And it was really intense, very intense. I enjoyed it.
And I guess we've mentioned it before, is, you know, all of this is revolving a murder case of, you know, a young woman, a young, you know, Mormon woman and her young baby.
Multiple murders.
Maybe there was another one, right? Was there another one that I missed? Yeah. I think there was
multiple murders. Yeah. Okay.
So it was just
really good. I mean, it's based on a true story, which is, you know, where the horror comes in.
Okay, so we both agree that it was an excellent film. I mean, series.
Yeah, the series is great. Series is very good.
Okay, so let's get into one of our favorite segments called Refund Matinee or Full Price. So, Mom, so Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's defamation case was all that we saw for the past, 5 to 6 weeks. Would you have paid full price, matinee, or refund to be in the court when they read the verdict?
I'll say matinee. I was somewhat interested, since it was just so public and, so much time and everything spent on the entire matter. So I had some interest, but I would never pay, top price or anything. I had moderate interest in the whole situation because to me, it was just really unfortunate when you have to, go public, you feel the need to go public with all your personal, your personal relationships and some things that are, in the past about your life that, are very hurtful. And, because it was a lot, because Johnny Depp, talked all about his childhood, his mom, his father, his sister was there. And I mean, on and on and on. So to me, it was an awful lot. And he's been out here for a long time, but apparently it was that important to Johnny Depp. Apparently admit that much to him because he really, he really went after Amber Heard, He really felt, he felt that she, went out of her way to harm his character and harm his reputation. So, matinee at best. Yeah, matinee at best.
I'm gonna go. I agree with you about matinee. Like Johnny Depp always did. Not trying to bash Amber Heard, but from what I know of her, I was never a fan. Regarding her work and just the things that we've heard in the public eye. It was very compelling testimony. From Johnny Depp and just, some of his experts. So I found it really interesting. I also think it's sad that we see these people's personal lives, being splattered all across the world and the internet. So I'm going to go with matinee for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Here it is. So we're going to go with Jada Pinkett. So Jada Pinkett Smith addressed the slap on her Red Table talk show. This is what she said. Now about Oscar night, my deepest hope is that these two intelligent, capable men have an opportunity to heal, talk this out and reconcile. With the state of the world today, we need them both. And we all actually need one another more than ever. Until then, Will and I will continue doing what we've done for the last 28 years. And that's keep figuring out this thing called life together. Thank you for listening. So Ma, refund matinee or full price for a seat at the Red Table with Jada?
Refund.
So you wouldn't want refund. A seat at the Red Table with her to talk nothing, to her?
Nothing, nothing, nothing at all.
Can I ask why?
I'm going to tell you why. I feel that she is dishonest. I think the nature of her conversation and the scope of her conversation are fraudulent. I think what she says and what she does and does not include, she lies by omission and she lies by direct statement. I do not believe her. I do not trust her. She is disrespectful to her family, Will, her kids, and whomever. And everything she's doing is purely self-serving. And I just have no respect for anything that comes out of Jada's mouth. Okay. I don't want to hear from her because she's a liar. Okay. Until she comes out and says to the public, what I did was wrong. I disrespected my family, myself, by publicly doing whatever I did just because it made me feel better at the time, whatever, okay? Rather than dealing one-on-one with my husband, my family, until she comes out like a woman and owns up to whatever, you know, owns up to what the whole world could see that she did. And she only admitted it because she got busted because, what's his name? Augustine or whatever is his name. He is the one who came and told everything. So she just couldn't deny it any longer. Okay? No. Until she's willing to come clean, after that, hey, I believe in grace and forgiveness. When you own up to what you did, but not when you continue to lie and be dismissive. No, I'm not feeling anything out of Jada's mouth. And she has disrespected and dishonored her own relationship and her own family. And that's how I feel about her. And she's done it very publicly and very brazenly. And all this stuff going on, the least she could do is say, I'm going to own up to what I did. You know, I'm going to be adult enough, woman enough to say what I did was not the right thing. You know, whatever.
Ma, all of that, just you saying, you still wouldn't want to say that to her at the red table.
No, 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 no. She needs to say that before I would come to her red table.
Okay.
Because I already know that she's already a liar and unwilling to go there. Now, go there and talk to her and convince her of that? She already knows that. She knows that. It's just up to her to make a decision where she want to go. Until she makes that decision, there is no honest conversation with her.
Well, you know what I think? I think that people's personal business should be their personal business. I don't think that we should know who's sleeping with who and whatever, all that stuff. And I think that's like, you know, and we're tired of it. And I think the problem is that certain people, certain celebrities put that out into the universe. And then if it doesn't have the reaction that they want to have, they become defensive. And there's all these other different issues. You know, with Jada, absolutely. I really wish,
completely.
I kind of wish that she would just be quiet. Like, that's really what I wish, because when she says things, it
be
doesn't
quiet
come across.
Or be honest. Yeah. Be quiet or be honest. I'm with you, daughter, 1,000,000%. Be quiet or be honest. Yeah. Don't grab the mic and start making up a bunch of excuses and telling crazy lies.
Yeah.
You know, you're either lying by omission because you're not confronting it, okay? You're lying by omission or lying by personal testimony, yeah. One way or the other. And I'm not trying to know. I'm not going anywhere with you with nothing to hear anything. I'm not even tuning into your show or nothing to hear you there, you know, carrying on. And you know good and well, you may have alopecia or not. I don't know. You may just shave your head. You may just have been using bad hair products. I don't know if you have alopecia or not. That's not the issue. You've been wearing all kind of wigs and carrying on for all these years and nobody knew whatever you had. Now, all of a sudden, oh, people seeing you all over the place in every kind of wig, every movie you make, you got on some kind of wig, pretty much. You may have done one or two things that way, but the overwhelming majority of the movies that you did make, you had on some type of hair and everything. And why now, all of a sudden, is it this and that and this and that? And alopecia been around for years, you know? And now, all of a sudden, I don't buy it. Even if you have alopecia, to me, that's just a self-serving, you know, it's fraudulent in nature.
Well,
the intent of you telling this alopecia story is false.
Well, you know what, Ma, what rubbed me the wrong way, and I didn't see it. And, you know, sometimes when you don't see things, you don't know the full story. But right. From the clips that they showed at the beginning of that, where she said what she said about the slap, that was the episode that was talking about alopecia. And apparently there was a 12-year-old baby who committed suicide because of alopecia. And I don't think that was best way for her to talk about the slap. This little, and using that girl's experience for your own agenda. I had an issue with that.
She's a fraud. Jada is a fraud and a liar. And everything she does is self-serving. Everything she does is self-serving. And that's what I want to say about that. You know, and her and Will can go on doing whatever the hell they want to do. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I am not a fan. She will not be doing whatever she's doing with support from me. Until or unless she steps out and be, you know, just a decent human being, you know, that's all, just a basic, decent human being, and say, look, you know, I did a whole lot of BS, and, you know, and I'm sorry, you know, and I hurt my family, you know, and whomever else I hurt, you know, and I'm wrong, and I'm sorry, you know, or something worse to that effect. Until I hear that kind of talk from her, some sort of contrition from her, nothing. I wouldn't, if I find out she's in a room, I would get up and leave the room. Yeah, that's it. Nothing.
Okay. So let's move on to our final scenario. And so this one is definitely a lot more lighthearted. Queen Elizabeth is celebrating 70 years on the throne. It's called the Platinum Jubilee. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are, you know, in attendance. So would you pay full price, matinee, or refund for a seat next to Harry and Meghan? Or would you prefer a seat next to the Queen?
Nah, you know what? I refund. I skipped the whole party. You know, just refund. Because, you know, Harry and Meghan, they're only going over there because I guess they think they, you know, they got to make sure their spot is secure in the will. You know, I guess they're going to get a, you know, they're rich as hell. So I guess they figure they're going to get a, you know, a few dollars or whatever. So they're going over there for that, I guess, you know, just to say, hey, you know, I am the grandson. So, you know, that kind of thing, just to make sure, you know, that their name is still included in the will. I don't even see anything in that at all, because they basically have severed their ties. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe this one was, I don't know how it was more personal than anything else, because it's a public, you know, ritual that they're going through.
70 years.
She's
70 years.
Well, she is almost 100. So she's just been working all her adult life. So, but anyhow, and wait a minute. The work
she's been working?
Let's be honest. The work that she does, isn't it just the idea that she's still living? I mean, she didn't really do much work.
She didn't really do anything.
She's just been blessed with longevity, okay?
And she didn't wear clothes like Princess Diana, you know? She never wore clothes like Princess Diana. She never wore, you know?
Yeah.
Well, or even Kate Middleton for that, you know?
I wouldn't be interested in any of it at all, frankly speaking.
Refund for me. I have no interest in that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the huge moment of the week is, you remember Matthew Morrison from Glee?
Yes, the teacher.
Yeah, so right? Mr. Schuster. So
yeah,
Matthew Morrison was fired from So You Think You Can Dance for inappropriate conduct. Apparently, he sent a contestant a flirty text message, a flirty, inappropriate text message, and he was filming for about a week, and they let him go. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
A contestant?
Yes, he sent a text message to a contestant on So You Think You Can Dance, and he was a judge.
Oh, So You Think You Can Dance. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that other dancing thing, you know, where
they Dancing with the Stars.
With the Stars. I was getting ready to say, can he talk to the people? Okay, all right, I got you, yeah. I got you. Somebody who's vying in the competition.
That he's judging.
Yeah, that he's the judge of. Yeah.
And any thoughts on that or no?
Yeah, well, see, you know what he was, you know what he did.
And he's married, Ma.
Well, he really.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. He really did the wrong thing. Oh, no.
Oops.
Well, wait a minute. What's wrong with him? You never put anything in writing. Doesn't he know that people have... Now, he could have gave her a wink, a nod, a hello.
A wink.
This or that. Whatever they do, you know, whatever to try to get attention. He could have gave her extra talk or extra smile or sent her a cup of coffee. So I don't know what they do. Buy her a bottle of Evian or Perrier or whatever they do. But No, you know, come on, you don't put things in writing.
Oh gosh.
You don't know. That's self-incriminating. Oh, come on. He knows better than that. Every American knows protect yourself against self-incrimination.
He was just feeling himself a little too much, and he apparently was comfortable doing that because
he lost track of what time it was.
He's married. He's a father of two.
If Mr.
Schuster.
Now, I'm not saying he should have done it, but if you're going to do it, you don't put it in writing.
No, I'm, you know, surprised at Mr. Schuster, or I guess I shouldn't be surprised. Who knows? Yeah. But, you know, he showed himself, you know, that's not cool. Not cool, no, Mr. Mackie Morrison.
I'm pretty sure whoever he's married to didn't appreciate that.
No, she's not happy with that.
Okay.
All right, Ma. Three things that made you smile.
You know the three things. The sun in the morning.
Oh, wow.
The stars and the moon in the evening.
Well, for me, it's LeBron James is officially a billionaire.
Yes, yes, yes. The first one in the NBA. The first
yes.
one.
Yes.
Michael Jordan was asked out of the NBA. Then he became a billionaire.
Yes.
So lovely.
So go, LeBron. Number two.
To LeBron and Savannah. Yay.
Number two, Coco Gauff has made it to the French Open. She is the third American under the age of, not under, she's 18. 18 or under.
And wait a minute, she's in the finals?
She's in the finals.
Yay,
Coco.
I was thinking it was the semi.
No, she's in it. She made it to the finals.
I'm glad she was able to, you know, stay focused and not, you know, get sidetracked with a bunch of that nonsense. You know, yes, Coco. Yes, yes, yes.
And finally, Shawnee O'Neal has remarried. Shawnee O'Neal and I think it's Keon Henderson. They married, a few days ago.
I knew that they were going to get married. Yes. Wonderful, Shawnee.
Congratulations to them.
I think Shawnee is just a sweetie pie. You know, she's so nice. And Shaquille, he admitted that he didn't do the right thing.
And that he was a big man to do that, because you know a lot of men and women don't admit their wrongdoing.
You got that right. And Shaquille, he did. You know, he said, you know, hey, I'm guilty. You know, I blew that, you know. So okay.
So is there anything that you want to say before we sign out?
No, I want to tell everyone to take care. Please go vote, guys. We need gun control legislation, okay? And we need to be putting people in place to make that happen for us, okay? Please go vote. That is your power. Never forget it. Never take it for granted. That is your power. One man, one vote. One woman, one vote. Irrespective to everything. Rich, poor, black, white, blue, pink, purple, brown, yellow, green, orange, red. One human being, one vote in the United States, okay?
I second
Please,
that.
Guys, go vote.
Go vote, guys. Free.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so that's all the time that we have, guys. Thanks for listening. Tell everyone about us. Please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Bambushi Happy Hour, and also at All Things Peju. And subscribe to our YouTube channel at All Things Peju, guys. Be safe.
And we want to hear your comments.
Oh, yes. Continue to comment. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.